If you have your Bibles there, open them up to Mark 11. And we started in a scripture last week, and we're going to start here this week again and then jump from there over to the book of Romans. So open up your Bible to Mark 11. And we're talking about forgiveness as it hinders prayer, and forgiveness as something that we need to let go of, and forgiveness as something that God does not want us to carry, that burden in our life. And Jesus said here in Mark 11, verse 25, "And whenever you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father who is in heaven may forgive you your transgressions. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father who is in heaven forgive your transgressions." And so the implication is that forgiveness is an essential component in God hearing our prayer, and not only here on this earth, not only in our life here on this earth, but also as we think about our eternal life in heaven, as we think about our eternal destiny and our salvation. We glean from this that Jesus said, if you don't forgive your brothers and sisters here on this earth that have harmed you or hurt you, then my Father in heaven will not forgive you when you stand before him. And so it has eternal consequences, and eternal consequences that can affect us in a very negative way when we hang on to bitterness, and we hang on to anger, and we hang on to unforgiveness. And God's will is that we forgive even the slightest little infraction against us, that no matter what is spoken against us. And I know, again, brothers and sisters, that many of you have been hurt in very dramatic ways, and maybe physically or sexually molested, or maybe spoken vile rumors against and defamed, and your reputation has been dragged through the mud or tarnished, or very unspeakable things that have happened to you, and yet God says let go and forgive, and if you do, God says, then I'll forgive you of your transgressions when you get to heaven. And in Romans 12:14, Paul talks about blessing those who persecute you. Here in chapter 12, verse 14, he says, "Bless those who persecute you, bless and curse not." And then verse 15, "Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men." And so God's will is that we be peacemakers. God's will is that we not be troublemakers, that we not be gossips. And, you know, a lot of times people spend their time stirring up strife, and they spend their time talking about other people, and they spend their time talking about incidents that mar and defame other people, and they keep stirring up talk and rumors that cause other people to be run down and other people to be lowered in their estimation and in other people's estimation. And God just says, let go of that. He says, not only forgive them in your own life, but don't hold against them something that you've heard through somebody else, or something that maybe somebody else has told you about somebody. And all of this falls under the category of judging people improperly. And, you know, we know that God is the righteous judge, that God knows every situation. He knows what the circumstances are of every person's action. He knows what their motives are. He knows what causes them to do what they do, and why they act and react the way they do. And Jesus said in Matthew 7 on the Sermon on the Mount, he said, "Do not judge lest you be judged, for in the way you judge, you will be judged, and by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you." And in verse 3, he says in Matthew 7, "Why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, and behold, the log is in your own eye? You hypocrite, Jesus said, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. And so many times we don't judge righteously because we see that speck that's in our brother's eye, and we want to be critical of it, and we want to bring that up. Or maybe some brother has done some little thing against us, and we don't forgive, and yet we expect people to forgive us when we've done a great infraction or when we've done something very wrong and large in nature against them, and we don't understand that God says, let go of that little infraction. Don't keep harping on that little speck that's in your brother's eye. God's saying, take care of what's in your own eye first. Take care of that first. And then when you look around, you will see that those things that have been done against you maybe aren't as serious as what you think, or maybe that you can let go of them, because you realize then that we're all sinners, that you realize that everybody has sinned, and that person is struggling. Maybe their motives were good, they just didn't do the right thing, or they couldn't carry out the right thing. Maybe their motives were good, and yet God knows their motives. God knows our motives. He knows our hearts, and so maybe we're not always doing the right thing either. Maybe we're not always successful in carrying out our intentions, and so God is just saying, let go. Let me take care of it. And back to Romans 12, verse 18, Paul says, if possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Don't stir up strife. Don't keep bringing up things that happened 5, 10 years ago. And men of God, don't keep bringing up against your wife something that, you know, happened 5, 10, 15 years ago, that, you know, when you get the right opportunity, maybe you throw that up in her face to dig at her a little bit, or put her down and make her to realize that, you know, you haven't forgotten that thing, that you're still holding that against her. Just let go of it. Just let go and let God have it. Verse 19 in Romans 12, never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him, and if he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap burning coals upon his head. And do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And so when we forgive people, even sometimes we have to forgive people when they haven't even done anything against us. We just forgive them because they're a part of a group that, you know, wants to hurt us, or they're part of a group that wants to persecute us, or you know they're a part of a group that maybe hates us. And I think in America today, people are starting to get polarized to where we really don't have any compassion, or we don't have any understanding, and many times we don't even try to understand or reach out to groups that we automatically judge as being in opposition to us, especially as Christians. And maybe we think that there's nobody there that I can love, or there's nobody there that could love me, and that's not God's will. We're judging and we're taking the place of God when we do that, when we start to make unrighteous judgments, and we start to make snap judgments about who can be loved in a group, or could they ever love me, or, you know, when we start to typecast and pigeonhole people into place where we can never reach out to them, where we can never say, I love you, brother, where we can look in their eye and say, I love you, brother, I love you, sister. I know a lot of people probably think about homosexuals in that regard, or people that are in prison in that regard. They just look at them and say, you know, good riddance. Maybe they're getting what they deserve. Maybe, you know, that's the best God has for them. Well, I say no. I declare no, that God says that His wrath will judge people, that vengeance is His. It's not ours to declare. God's will is that none should perish. In 2 Peter 3, verse 9, His will is that none should perish. He is not slow, as some count slowness, but it's His will that none should perish, that everyone should come to know Him, that all should turn to Him, and all should have an opportunity, and all should be given an opportunity to repent. And receive eternal salvation. That's God's will. And so when you judge people before you even get an opportunity to give them the gospel, or when you judge them before you get an opportunity to even treat them with kindness, and you just say, you know, God wouldn't even want those people in his kingdom, or God wouldn't even care for those people in his house of prayer or his house of worship, then you're judging them unrighteously, and you're taking vengeance on those people when you shouldn't, and when it's not God's will for you to take vengeance upon them. And so Paul is saying here, never take your own vengeance, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. And so we don't strike back, and so we don't lash out. That doesn't mean that we don't defend our families. There may come a point in time when we have to defend our families against bands of marauders or bands of outlaws, or even on an individual basis, if somebody breaks into your house or attempts to break into your house, you know, God has given you the authority and the right to defend your family. But as far as in the public square, we don't go out and lash back and revile people and curse at people and shove people, and we don't speak unkindly about people, even though they may have hurt us, or even though they may have spoken unkindly about us. We walk with dignity, and we forget those things to the best we can, and we forgive those things that have been carried out against us, that, as I said before, may have been unspeakable acts and things in the natural that we just are not able to even think about forgiving yet. But because of God's love for all men, when we start to get the heart of Jesus Christ, because of God's love for all men, when we start to think like Jesus and become like Jesus, and we are predestined to be conformed into his image. And so when we take on his heart and we become an intercessor for those that are lost, we become an intercessor for those that don't know him. And so we start to weep over the lost, and we start to weep over those who are cruel to us and to other people, and we start to weep over those who lash out at us and at other people. And so when we start to get the heart of Jesus, we understand his heart for these people, that he has mercy and he has compassion and he has care for each and every one of them. And when Jesus came to the multitudes, he didn't lash out at them. He didn't scold them. He scolded the religious leaders of the day, the Pharisees. That's who he scolded, and that's who he gave tongue lashings to. But for the multitudes, the lost, the broken, the lame, the lepers, the demon-possessed, he had nothing but compassion on them. When he looked at them, he said, they're like sheep without a shepherd. He said, they're lost, and they're broken, and they're full of distress. And he said, they are like sheep without a shepherd. And Jesus said that he came to set them free. He came to destroy the works of the devil in their life. And so that's what he's here for today. He's not here walking this earth, but through the body of Christ, through you and me, those who call ourselves believers, he wants to work through us to take care of those that may be unlovable, that may be untouchable, that maybe even hate us or revile us, but you keep showing them love. And it said there in verse 20 of Romans 12, he said, if your enemy is hungry, feed him, and if he is thirsty, give him a drink, for in so doing you will heap burning coals upon his head. And so even when you encounter your enemy, you treat him as if you love him. Even when you encounter an enemy, you treat him as if he is a very special and important person, and in so doing, you heap burning coals upon his head. And what does that do, to heap burning coals upon his head? It brings shame into their life. It makes them ashamed for the fact that they have hatred and bitterness and anger in their heart. It makes them ashamed for the fact that they don't love their brother, and in so doing, it pierces their hearts. And in so doing, it brings them to the love of Jesus Christ, and it brings them to a point of recognition of the love of Jesus Christ. And so when they compare their own life to Jesus Christ, when they compare their own life to those who have treat him with kindness and treat him with love, then they understand that their own life is coming up short. And so they search for an answer. They reach out for that answer that is presented to them. Well, I'm going to close here with a passage of Scripture in Hebrews 12. If you want to Turn your Bible over there. Hebrews 12, it says, pursue peace with all men, Paul says, and the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord. And so God calls us, brother and sister, to be set aside as his children. He calls us to be set aside. And if you have hatred and you have bitterness and anger in your heart and unforgiveness, that root of bitterness, as we talked last week, that root of bitterness that just goes deeper and deeper down into your feet and down into your body, and it just eventually extracts all the joy, and it extracts all the love and all the kindness and all the positive thinking out of you, and after a while you're just real bitter. You don't enjoy the life that God has given you. You don't enjoy seeing each day, and you become angry, and as it builds over time, that anger is taken out on other people. And that is not God's will. He says that the sanctification, the setting aside to do God's will, the setting aside to receive his glory. It says, without that, no one will see the Lord. In verse 15 in Hebrews 12, see to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by it may be defiled. And, you know, the root of bitterness that causes trouble can start in a family. It can start in a couple, between a man and a wife. It can start between two brothers. It can start between people in a town. And a root of bitterness, when it takes a hold, it will just permeate the air, and it will foul the air around those people. It will foul the air in that person's life, and the children are affected by it, and maybe the whole town is affected by it. And you know, a root of bitterness and a root of anger can eventually affect the whole nation, and it can cause wars. It can cause great strife and dissension. And God is just saying, let go of all of that. Let go of all that. He's saying, vengeance is mine. And God is the righteous judge. He is the one who can look across the land, and he can see what needs to be corrected. He can see what needs to be judged. He can see who needs his wrath. He can see who needs his mercy, his grace. John 7, verse 24, do not judge according to appearance, Jesus said, but judge with righteous judgment. And so Jesus was and still is the righteous judge. His eyes and God's eyes rove to and fro across the earth, and they see everything that goes on. They see men's hearts. They see their motives for doing things. They understand that the tendency of man is to be bitter, angry, to spiral downward, to lash out, to take vengeance into his own hands, to not forgive. That's the tendency of man. And Jesus said, I came to write a new commandment on your heart. I came that you would love one another. This is a new commandment, John said. This is a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. And there's no place in God's love, in agape love, in unconditional love, there's no place for God's love that includes bitterness and unforgiveness. There's no place in God's love that allows us to strike out and take vengeance into our own hands. And when we start to understand that that's God's will, we will make great strides toward being the kind of people that God wants us to be. If you have not accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you need to do that today. If you want to take on the nature of the Prince of Peace, of the King of Kings, of the Lord of Lords, if you want to take on his heart into your life, Paul says in Galatians 2:20, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives within me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live according to the love and the grace of Jesus Christ, who died on the cross and gave himself up for me. And so we live through faith in Jesus Christ, and we live through hope and expectation that we can live a better life through him, that we can let go of our bitterness, that we can let go of our anger. And you know, just preaching these messages on unforgiveness has been good for me too, because there's some places in my heart that I've got some hard places towards people, and I'm sure all of us do, and all of you do, and there might be some places where you need to let go, and there might need to just say, Lord, in my own strength, I can't do this. In my own strength, I can't let go. I want to hold on to that bitterness and that unforgiveness, but by the power of God, through His strength and through His grace and His mercy, you can let go. And let God take care of those things in your life that you can't take care of. And let God's wrath deal with those maybe who have hurt you in a very hurtful way. And so it'll be good for you, brother and sister, to examine yourself. Examine yourself. And maybe you need to take the first step and just say, Jesus, I want you to come into my life. I want you to take over. I've been full of anger. I've been full of bitterness. My life is a series of broken dreams. And maybe you just need to say, Jesus, come in and patch it up. Jesus, fix it up. Just turn it over to Him. Turn it over to Him. Let Him take your heart and let Him turn it into a heart circumcised by Him, that He can cut off everything that does not bring glory to Himself. And we just thank you for that opportunity. We thank you for those out there today who need to do that and those who are doing that right this very moment, examining themselves and turning it over to the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we thank you again for the opportunity we've had to share with you today. Come back and join us again next week. God bless you, and we'll see you next week.